radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. It's all
right. Greetings. This is Adila Barnes. Welcome to my show, Adila, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul, where we will get close with our radio guests. Before I introduce you to my very special guest today, I'd like to share with you my thought for the day. It is, quote, "No one can dub you with dignity. That is yours to claim." The late singer, Odetta. And so it is. And dignity is what our guest today certainly possesses. She is a 6-time Grammy Award-winning vocalist and founding member of the popular singing group The Fifth Dimension. She is an actress, activist, speaker, and humanitarian. She is also a mother and grandmother. She was named by the American Society of Jewelry Executives as one of the 10 most beautiful women in the world. I am speaking about none other than my friend, Miss Florence LaRue. Welcome, Florence.
Thank you, Adila. I'm so happy to speak with you, and I like that quote.
Oh, wonderful. That was Odetta. I actually did a show with her many years ago, but that's a whole other story. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, now, thank you. I'll be looking forward to seeing you at the festival soon.
Yes, we're going to be talking about that in just a tad. Now, you know, first of all, I understand you celebrated a birthday this month on February 4th. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. And, you know, people say that you're not supposed to tell your age, but I am so blessed that God has let me live this old, to be so healthy, and to still be enjoying life and looking forward to the future at 70.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo! Good for you.
I have to tell you, when I was younger, you know, 50 sounded old.
Mm-hmm.
And then 60 sounded really old. And
right.
70. But, honey, I tell you, I feel good.
I know you do. I know you do. And, you know, there was a time when 70 was old. But now, like my father, who passed last year, he made it to 101.
Wow.
So now we're all living older. So, no, that's not as old as we used to think it was.
Right.
So
we're living older, but my prayer, Adila, is that we'll start living healthier because so many people are living to be older, but they're in such poor health.
Exactly. Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, about how you have kept yourself looking so good. And, you know, back to your birthday, that makes you, I know you're not into astrology, but that would make you an Aquarian, right?
That's what they say. They say I'm very Aquarian.
Right. And to that end, I wanted to speak about a song that your group, The Fifth Dimension, put out, which was called Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. I remember that song so well. That must have had a very special meaning for you, yes?
You know, I'll tell you, Adila, it did have a special meaning for me, but not because I'm an Aquarian.
I knew
because
you were going to say
time,
that.
We didn't even realize that we were singing about an astrological sign. We recorded Aquarius because it spoke of harmony and understanding,
yes,
and good times and people, you know, doing good and wonderful things.
Yes.
And people even to this day ask us, you know, did we record it because we were an Aquarian, but that just happened to be.
Isn't that something? So really, you were speaking of the age of Aquarius, which we know to mean.
Dawning of the age of Aquarius, actually.
Exactly. Which is supposed to be indicative of love, light, and humanity.
Right.
And you certainly exemplify that, Florence.
Oh, thank you, Adele. I know I do love, as you know.
Yes. Now, what are some of your favorite songs that the Fifth Dimension recorded, now that we're talking about your songs?
Songs that we've recorded? One of my favorite songs that the Fifth Dimension recorded was not well-known. It was on one of our lesser-known CDs. It was on an album called The Magic Garden, which was fabulous. It's the best thing we ever recorded, but
it
wasn't a big hit because it was before its time. It was very orchestrated, and it was the first album with a theme through it. It was about a love story between Jimmy Webb and a young girl who broke his heart.
Ah.
My favorite song on the album is a song called Misty Roses, and the lyrics say, "You look to me like misty roses, too soft to touch, but too lovely not to try." Oh, it's a
beautiful is that?
Now, of our hits, one of my favorite songs is One Less Bell.
Oh, yes.
Hal David and Burt Bacharach wrote a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons I like it, Adela, is because it's something almost everyone, male or female, has experienced, you know, that lost love. But the way he expresses it, one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry.
Absolutely, and I know many of our listeners are thinking back on that song and maybe even humming it as we speak.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Now, you know, on this show, Adela, I always ask my guests to share a little bit about themselves so that our listeners have a sense of who the person is, not the public face necessarily, but who the person is. So to that end, I'd like to back up just a tad and start at the beginning and ask you where you were born and raised, Florence.
I was raised in Pennsylvania, and I lived there until I finished high school, and then I came to California. So as you can imagine, that was some time ago. So I'm really almost a Californian. I still miss the East Coast.
Right.
That's where my roots are, my heart is there. Many of my dear, dear friends are there.
Uh-huh.
I don't have much family there anymore. Most of my family is here.
Uh-huh.
But I just really miss the East Coast.
Totally different rhythm. Absolutely.
Totally different. Especially, you know, New York with the theaters, which is where I really began my love for the theater.
Uh-huh.
And just a whole different atmosphere. Except I was speaking to a friend of mine back east, and I said, "Now I understand why I pay to live in California when I walk out into the sunshine."
Exactly.
And they're experiencing some very cold weather.
That's one of our pluses in Southern California. Now, when you go upstate, of course, you're going to get your seasons, snow.
Right.
See,
I also miss the seasons. Ah.
Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right about it in terms of Southern California.
I walked in school and snow, and I didn't like it then.
Right. And tell me,
except my first Christmas here was very disappointing because I thought, where's the snow? How does Santa get here?
Wow. That's funny. Well,
does he water ski?
Exactly. Tell me this, Florence, how was it growing up in Pennsylvania?
It was interesting, Adela, growing up in Pennsylvania. I was in a very peculiar situation. My home was located on a street that divided the black and white community. However, I ended up attending the white schools all my life, and that was very interesting. I also ended up being not truly accepted by either race. Those in the black community thought, you know, the LaRues thought they were better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm,
and then some of the white community didn't fully accept me, except in the things that I excelled in, which were sports and music. Actually, I had more trouble with the parents than the students. So I was really lost. I never really had, you know, the black experience. I didn't have any identity. As a matter of fact, Adela, I tell a story that when I was in elementary school, they read a book, which I hope is out of print, called Little Black Sambo. Remember that story?
Yes.
Oh, and here I was, the only black child in the class, and of course everybody looked at me and laughed.
No, they did, yes.
And I could have just crawled under my chair. I had experiences like that. But I was blessed to have some, you know, good friends, both black and white. As a matter of fact, I still go back and visit an Afro-American girlfriend of mine who lived next door.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we still go back and reminisce about those times.
Beautiful. Now, yeah. I didn't know that you played sports. Of course, I know you personally, so I know a lot about you. But
right.
I didn't know about you playing sports. What sports did you play?
Oh, believe it or not, now you know how tall I am. I played varsity basketball. I ran
what?
Track. I played field hockey. And I was good at all of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're very physical even today, so now that even makes more sense.
Yeah, I think
that you work
really,
out so regularly.
Built mm-hmm. I think your muscles have sort of remember things. And
mm-hmm.
I think plus I studied ballet, toe and ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's built into my body, so that's why I still have a lot of energy.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Except one thing, I did something terrible to my body, Adela. You
won't
never believe this.
What?
Day after my birthday, I celebrated by participating in another half marathon.
You are good about those marathons.
But I did it without preparing, you know. I didn't. And I'll tell you, my legs let me know, girl, if you're going to do this, you have to train.
That's right.
And last
That's
year
right.
I did three half marathons.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, I know that God and family come first in your life. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I have three sisters, two of whom are in Los Angeles, my baby sister and my oldest sister. I'm the elder of all of them all. I'm 10 years older than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And my middle sister lives in Baltimore in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of fun. Even though there's a large difference in our ages, we still, you know, love each other and keep in touch. Of course, they all have their families, except my baby sister. She's a wonderful teacher in, I keep forgetting where she teaches.
Is that the one that I met?
Yes, Lala.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
But it was interesting. I always wanted an older brother, but because I was the eldest, I think that was a little hard for my mom to do.
Right. Couldn't go back.
Right.
And, you know,
and of course, you know, I have one son and three grandchildren.
Right.
Who unfortunately are in Texas, so far away.
No, but you got to see them recently. That must have been wonderful.
It was. And plus, now I finally learned how to Skype.
You know I'm now Skyping too, just a little bit.
Great.
Just a tad. So we'll have to be Skype friends.
Right. It's
mm-hmm.
fun. I have to remember, though, to always make sure I'm dressed properly and that I'm not sitting at my messy desk.
That's right, because they can see you.
They can see us.
Now, you know, shifting gears, I wanted to ask you, how did your music career begin? Connect the dots for us.
Well, I've always enjoyed music.
Mm-hmm.
When I was very young, my parents were divorced, you know, but when my dad would come, we would listen to classical music together. And my father was in the Army, and he was close to classical music because of being in Germany. And as a matter of fact, his wife that he married after they divorced was a ballet dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of he sort of introduced me to more of the classical music. Then my mother also had me take ballet lessons. She wanted to be in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I always had an interest in music, mostly classical.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, I did very well academically, so they said, there's a violin teacher here, and anybody that wants to go and learn how to play can come. Well, I didn't even know what a violin was, but you know, I figured I could get out of class.
Right.
So I went, and I ended up, you know, playing the violin. And I was good, and I would have been even better, but I didn't like to practice. You know, I didn't want to play scales. I wanted to play songs, you know.
Ah.
So that was my violin career was short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
My mother took me to the theater, and I saw the great Miss Lena Horne.
Oh, my. You saw her in person.
I
know later
in
your life she came up again. Mm-hmm.
When I was a child at Radio City, in Carnegie Hall, I believe it was.
Ah.
And, oh, my goodness. And years later, when I was an adult, my mother and I went to see her, and she was gracious enough to pose for a photo with us.
Oh, beautiful. I bet you still have that photo, don't you?
I still have it right here in my bedroom.
I bet you do.
My inspiration, yes.
Wow.
But going to the theater, that that really was my love. I wanted to be a movie actress.
Hmm.
And since I didn't know how to go about it, when I moved to California, friends of mine entered me into beauty contests, not because I thought I was so beautiful, but I wanted to perform and be discovered.
Mm-hmm.
So I sang since I didn't play the violin anymore, and that's how I got into singing.
Mm-hmm.
I won the Miss Grand Talent in the Miss Bronze California contest,
yeah.
And a young man approached me and said, well, I have a singing group, and one of the young ladies is leaving because there's nothing happening with the group. I said, no. First of all, I'm not a singer. Second of all, I'm in my last year of college getting my teaching credential. I don't have time. He said,
mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. No, I'm not a singer. I'm not interested. Well, he talked me into it, and that was Lamont McLemore, and the group was the group that eventually became the Fifth Dimension.
Isn't that something? Now, what was it like being part of such a successful singing group, especially in terms of being catapulted to such unbelievable fame?
I'll tell you, Adela, it was wonderful, and then at times it was frustrating.
Mm.
It was wonderful because I really enjoy being on stage. I was very shy. To this day, I'm a little bit shy, but I've overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm on stage, it was Miss LaRue. So I could get outside of myself. And I think a lot of performers do that.
Yes, I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
So that was, but what I really didn't like and what was frustrating was recording.
Ah.
I did not like recording. To this day, it's not my favorite. And the reason being, if for me to sing a song over and over and over to get it right, I would lose the feeling for the song.
I see.
Because I'm one that, I'm an emotional singer.
Mm-hmm.
And after about the second or third time, then it became too mechanical for me. Then also was the added fact that I was insecure because I was not a singer.
Mm.
Finally, after years of being with the group, you know, I had in the beginning, I depended upon my stage presence and my performing, which came as natural.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, I decided, listen, you're with a singing group, you're supposed to be a singer. So I began taking voice lessons, which I still do to this day.
Very smart.
Yes, and I finally feel like I'm a singer, not just a performer.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, I want to get back to this whole matter of fame, because we may have some listeners who are listening who are thinking, ooh, I want to get into entertainment, I want to be famous, I want everybody to know my name, all of that. What is your feeling about fame?
My feeling about fame is it is the icing on the cake. It is not the whole cake.
Yes.
I got into show business, Adela, for fame and fortune,
mm-hmm.
and God blessed me to allow me to do both.
Yes.
But then there came a time where I wasn't quite as fulfilled. And I think he was saying to me, all right, you have fame and fortune, but what are you doing with it? Who are you helping? Who are you mentoring? What, you know, is it all about you? And now I'm in it for a different reason. Of course, I still enjoy being asked for an autograph. I'm proud of that. You know, I work very hard for that. But the gold, you know, the gold records, of which I have 14 and 6 Grammys, they can't hug you. They can't talk with you,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm very proud of them, but I am more proud of the relationships I have, of my family and my dear friends. That's become so important. And I know it may sound serendipitous, but it's really not all it's cranked out to be. And
exactly.
And I don't think that people... I think it's fine for people to get into the show business for fame. But while you're there, be grounded. Enjoy your friends. Remember where you came from. Remember your family, you know. And then the fame, as I said, can really be the icing on the cake.
There you go. Not an end in and of itself.
Right. And it will also allow you to make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will listen to me. I've had... I have young people come up to me, like a young girl came up to me to discuss being molested. And she couldn't tell her mother, she couldn't tell her priest, but she could talk with me because she knew that, first of all, I was a Christian, and second of all, I was not judging her, and she would see me again. So I had the opportunity to minister to her.
Beautiful.
It put you
and she listened.
Yes, and another thing I realized the hard way is that it's a big responsibility that you're in, because music is very important. Music is very powerful.
Yes,
and I'm
is.
Very careful about the words that I sing,
mm-hmm.
because they really affect people. And we're in a position where many young people will listen to us before they'll listen to their parents.
That's right. That's
so whether we ask for it or not, it is a responsibility.
It most certainly is. Now, I want to just take a moment for those who may have tuned in to say that you're listening to Adila on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And back
check out Rainbow Soul.
Now, tell me this, Florence. When did you cross over to television, and what was your first role?
Well, the first television was with the Fifth Dimension when we performed on the Ed Sullivan Show, which a lot of your listeners are probably too young to remember Ed Sullivan. But
I remember the Ed Sullivan Show.
Ed Sullivan was like the Saturday night Jay Leno for the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful, and it was live.
Yes.
And that's what made it really exciting. I mean, if you tripped or if you said the wrong lyrics, you had to keep going. It was really great.
Wow, that's how it all began on TV.
That's how it all began. I don't think anything like it or will ever be anything like the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, no. Not like, they don't make them like that anymore.
No.
Now tell me, what were some of your more memorable experiences on television, and how was it crossing mediums from live stage to on-camera work?
For singing and performing was not difficult or hard for me. What was difficult for me, Adila, was acting.
Ah.
Because I was used to performing to the person in the last row of the theater. So, you know, all my gestures were very large and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that I could communicate to the back row.
Mm-hmm.
Television is in your face.
Yes, it is.
And it's like speaking to someone in person. I'll tell you, I took an acting class, and when I saw myself on film, oh, I could have just cried.
I'm sure it was not
like
that
clown.
Bad. I'm sure it was not that bad.
Oh, it was terrible, Adila. I mean, because, as I said, I was playing to the back row.
Wow. And that's the thing. We have to bring it all down for TV and film because it catches every little thing.
I also learned that it's not always necessary to have a movement. The eyes are important, or just
exactly.
You know, the facial expression. And I'm still learning. And by the way, I'm still taking acting lessons also.
Fantastic, Florence. Mm-hmm. And what are you learning now as you continue to take the acting classes? How is it serving you now compared to when you first began taking acting classes?
Well, when I first began taking acting classes, it was because I wanted to be in the movies and on television, which I still do.
Mm-hmm.
However, now I'm using that opportunity to hone my one-woman show.
Yes.
When
we're
going to
speak about that in a moment. I'm saving that for later.
Yeah, so when we have to do pieces in the class, instead of doing monologues, I do bits from my one-woman show.
Excellent.
I've learned something wonderful. What I learned is to stop being so concerned about memorizing the words exactly and tell the story.
Yes. And think thoughts, not words.
Right.
That's the key.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, now, you know, I wanted to shift gears again here. I mentioned earlier, as I introduced you, that you were named by the American Society of Jewelry Executives as one of the most beautiful 10 women in the world. Now, that is quite an honor. And you've been quoted, however, saying, "True beauty comes from within." Would you like to elaborate on that a little bit for those who maybe have issues around how they look or part of their body that's not perfect or you know, how they place value on physicality?
Well, you know, my grandmother used to say, pretty is as pretty does.
Right.
Have you ever seen a physically gorgeous woman enter the room, and then when her attitude and she opens her mouth, it's like, oh, please.
Exactly.
You know, and Adila, I have seen so many beautiful women who are so concerned about their little flaws. For instance, I've seen some really overweight women who
mm-hmm.
have beautiful faces, beautiful
mm-hmm.
eyes.
And beautiful skin.
And, right, beautiful skin. But they're so concerned about their weight, which is something they can do something about.
That's right. That's
so instead
right.
of enjoying the good features that they have, they focus on the bad.
Right.
And I've been in the process of writing this beauty book for so long, I'm embarrassed to even talk about it. But I'm writing a book on beauty,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Let Your Light Shine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about mental, physical, and spiritual beauty because they're all combined. I know a young lady, and if this lady, young lady walked into a room, she is not what society would say a beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, every man and woman would be attracted to her because of the way she carries herself.
Yes.
She's classy. She speaks well. She's fun. You know, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And that emanates from inside.
Yes, it does. It
self-confidence.
Really does.
Yes, yes. But, you know, at the same time, you really do look fabulous. And our listeners may be wondering, how do you keep yourself looking so good? What do you do to take such good care of yourself, Florence?
Well, I must say I'm a little vain. You know, I'm in a business where, you know, you're expected to look a certain way. So
right.
I watch my weight, which means I eat organic.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be glad to hear this. I am becoming sort of a vegetarian.
Excellent. But you know, your diet's been good since I've known you anyway, so that's not a huge leap for you.
Yes, I was a vegetarian for a while, and then being on the road, it was so hard to get good vegetables,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I slipped back a bit. But there's a book called Eat for Your Blood Type, and according to my blood type, I'm supposed to be a vegetarian.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. So I watch what I eat.
So you're really going down the right path.
Right. So I eat healthy. I also exercise. I try to walk at least half an hour every day. I used to be a gym rat and exercise all the time because I really, really enjoy physical activity. Now I'm more into walking and stretching.
Good
stretching
for you.
Is so good for you. You know, there's an Oriental saying that you're as old as your spine. Do you ever notice as people get older, they start bending over?
Yes, I have noticed that.
It makes a big difference if you stand up straight and if you walk properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take 5 years off of you, ladies,
mm-hmm.
so remember that.
But we all need to be conscious of that, just really kind of lengthening that spine.
Right, right. And also,
mm-hmm.
I don't smoke or drink. I mean, when I say I don't drink, I have a little wine now and then or champagne, but I never did like the taste of hard liquor,
mm-hmm.
so I never had that problem. So I don't put anything into my body that I don't think is going to be healthy, except my occasional ice cream or, you know, goodie.
I know about the ice cream.
But it shows that you
take good care of yourself because you really look well.
Thank you. I believe that God put everything down here for us to enjoy. It's just that too much of anything is not good for you. Too much of a good thing will make you sick. So
mm-hmm.
everything in moderation.
That's it. That's the key.
Positive.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you also about charity work because I know that that's been a big part of your life, giving back, and particularly as it relates to children. Would you like to say something about that?
Yes, I would. Adela, there are two age groups that I'm really, really fond of. That's the extreme, the elderly,
mm-hmm.
whom we forget and don't respect, and the children,
yes.
who we also don't respect anymore. You know,
yes.
children today are so looking for love. And parents are so involved with providing that a lot of times they, without realizing it, neglect their children.
Right.
You know, we don't
need
two cars.
They give them the material things, but not the time nor the love.
Right. We don't need two cars. We don't need a big home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our children, there are ways, and there are people who are existing in smaller homes, and one-car families, and are spending time with their children. I know it's very difficult today with the economy the way that it is. I mean, I even had some financial challenges, so I do understand. I know people say, oh, well, you're with the fifth dimension and you're rich. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's affecting all of us.
That's right.
But
that's right.
Children need our attention. They need our time. They need our love, and they need us to say, I love you.
Well, I'm sure hoping that some of our listeners are taking that to heart, who maybe hadn't consciously thought about how they can do more to really give to their children. But you've really hit it on the nose, the time, the love, and being able to say, I love you.
Yes, I've seen people cursing at their children in the grocery store.
I've seen it too.
And then they wonder why the children, you know, act the way that they do. Of course children should mind. But let me tell you, I only remember my mother hitting me once in my life. All my mother had to do was look at me, and I didn't know what was going to happen.
You knew what that look meant,
right? Terrible.
Mm-hmm. You knew that look. We all knew that look.
I knew that look. But, you know, it's a difficult time to raise children because there's peer pressure, there's television and the internet that influences us. See, we didn't have all of that.
No,
so we didn't have to make those choices. You know, we weren't surrounded with drugs. We didn't have guns at school. And so it's much more difficult today. And I really pray for the parents, and I admire any parent who, particularly the single women, there's so many single, and men, but there's so many single women out there raising children, and it's difficult.
Yes, yes. But it can be done.
I think one of the things you need is a spiritual base, and you need, you know, they say it takes a village. You need good friends, and if you're a woman raising a son, you need a good male influence, whether he's an uncle, because many times the fathers aren't in the children's lives. And, ladies, I know it's difficult because I did it. I was divorced, raised my son alone. I did not have any help from his father, and I know how difficult it was.
You did a very good job.
Thank you. I also know the heartache of having to leave your child because I was, you know, pursuing a career. Believe me, I would not do it that way again. If I had my life to live again, I would put my career aside for a while.
You know, I totally agree, and in my book I talk about that, you know, about the juggling and how I'd make different decisions. So I'm hoping that maybe there's some listeners out there right now who are really hearing us and maybe can learn from us as well, that if we place our children first, not our careers, but our children, it will make all the difference in terms of them getting what they need and coming up in the way in which we want them to.
Right, and you can go back to your career. As a matter of fact, I took my son on the road with me. He had his first passport when he was 3 months old.
Isn't that something?
To Japan. So I took him with me until he started school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left him at home, but I moved my aunt into my home. Big mistake. I wish I had moved my mother in instead. But anyway, it was difficult.
But it can be done. Now, you know, I wanted to talk about something else right now. I know that in 1986 you were acknowledged for your giving when you were named Woman of the Year by the City of Hope, and you received their prestigious Spirit of Life Award. Now, I found it interesting that that resulted in a research fellowship that was established in your name for extensive study and treatment of gynecological cancer. That is a mouthful.
I know. Yes, that was quite an honor.
Too.
I was really honored that they chose me to do that. They have an event each year, and they raise money for the City of Hope. It's a very, very worthy cause.
Yes. Now, how is it that they ended up choosing you, Florence?
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't know how they go about, you know, choosing the person that they honor. I guess they thought I must have done something they thought that I was worthy of.
But I
must tell you that cancer, Adila, I believe that we are causing cancer, and I'll tell you what I mean about that. We're causing it by what we put into our food.
Yes,
what we're putting
food
into the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pollution.
There's more cancer than there was in the days when we didn't have all of the microwaves, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just read an article just a couple of days ago how microwave changes the molecules in food.
Yes, I got an email where someone sent me something, and it shows how they had these two different plants.
Yes, I did
and
that.
And one was watered with water that had been put in a microwave, and the other was regular water. And by the time that they finished the study, the plant that had used the water from the microwave was all wilted and dying, and the other one was flourishing.
Right.
And it almost made me think, I need to get rid of my microwave.
Oh, I haven't owned a microwave for years. It's also bad for the thyroid and many other things. It can really contribute to cancers in the body. And you know, there's so many things that we've advanced that make life easier, but not necessarily better. For instance, with television, you know, we used to have to get up to change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Now all we exercise is our thumb on the remote.
Exactly. And
you know,
if we can't find that remote, it's like
the computer all day.
Yeah, where's my remote?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how people find time to tweet and to do Facebook and all of that. I don't have time to do that.
It's a different world, Florence, than what we grew up in. And the young ones, that's what they're growing up with.
But the thing is, we have to know about it. It doesn't mean that we have to be involved, you know, but we do have to be knowledgeable. That's the word.
Yes, or controlled by it.
Listen, do you know that I used to not want to leave home without my cell phone? And then one day I left the house to go somewhere, and I realized I didn't have my cell phone. I said, you know what? Leave it there. What did we do when we didn't have cell phones?
Good for you.
And I think
stress. We're so accustomed to having it that it's like if we don't have it, we feel like we've lost a part of ourselves. But there was a time when we didn't have cell phones.
But we don't have a moment of quiet to ourselves. We're either listening to the radio in the car or we have the cell phone. Think of how many moments during the day do you have that you can just think.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not any, unless you...
So those of us who are listening and thinking about this, perhaps we can think about how we can cut down on that cell phone and maybe leave it home sometimes.
Right. They're even showing that even the cell phones are contributing to problems with the brain, especially these young children who are on the phone all day.
Exactly.
So it's better to use a speaker.
Exactly. Now, you know, I wanted to move forward and talk a little bit. Many of our guests don't know that in addition to being an award-winning vocalist and songwriter, that you now have crossed over as a stage actress, creating your own solo show. Now, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. I'm going to come back to it now. And the show, of course, is called Just As I Am. What inspired you to write that piece, Florence?
Well, people are curious about entertainers, and I've had interviewers ask me questions about myself. And also, I wanted to share with especially young women my experiences with love, because Just As I Am really talks about my search for love.
Yes.
And, of course, men do the same thing, but particularly the young women. And the premise of the whole show is, you know, I've been married several times, and instead of waiting for the right person, sometimes I've,
settled.
I've settled.
Yes.
And
I think we all have it.
Even lately, I'm like,
another.
Lord, you know, I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone.
Right.
But now, I am not desperate. It's like,
that's
okay,
right.
Lord, you know I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone. I know there's a man out there for me. I'm not going on the internet looking for him. I'm going to prepare myself and be there, you know, put myself in places where the type of man I would like to marry will be. I don't even really want to date anyone I wouldn't want to marry because I want
to
get married.
There you go.
But Just As I Am talks about my search for love. And now that I'm older, I realize that there's been someone in my life and still is who loves me just the way that I am.
Mm.
And that's God.
I knew you were going to say that.
He loves me just as I, with all my faults. When I wake up in the morning with my hair all over my head and looking all ugly, he loves me.
Just as
and
you are.
And I know that the man that he sends me will also love me just as I am.
Absolutely.
Whether I gain weight, whether I lose weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
now,
willing
to
wait for that.
Yes. And I had read where Dr. Mary Sias, president of Kentucky University, wrote, and I quote, "While the music was uplifting and exciting and delivered with an amazing energy, it was the story interwoven between the songs that was spellbinding." Now, that is quite a quote on your show.
Yes, because I tell stories to show the human side of me, the real me, because things that have happened to me that happened to women who are, whether they're in show business, whether they're secretaries, no matter what they do, I'm a mother first, a grandmother, just like all these other women, and I experience the same things that they experience.
Yes.
And
yes.
She was saying that there were a couple of times, I even noticed that there were tears in the eyes of some of the young ladies when I mentioned different, you know, things that had happened to me, because they could relate.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me this. How is it doing a one-woman show? How does that differ from being on stage as a singer?
It's very different. And people, well, actually, Just As I Am isn't as different because it is a musical. I sing 15 songs.
Yes.
And it's different, just as I am is different, because it's free. It's my story. So if I mess up a line, nobody knows, you know, because I'm telling
right.
my story.
Right.
Now, the theater, theater is, I think, my number one love. Let's see how I use that word, love. But theater is, and people say, well, you sing all the time. No. Theater is different than a concert because, for one thing, you have lines, you're interacting with other singers more.
Okay.
It's more disciplined. And it just, I don't know, the whole situation, it smells different. Backstage, it's hard to describe. I just get excited thinking about it because I starred in three plays. And it was absolutely wonderful.
Excellent. We're going to do another station break here a moment, so hold on for me, Florence.
Okay.
For those who are tuning in, you're listening to Adila on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. Well, I was waiting for them to come in again. They didn't that time, so we're going to keep on going. And now, one thing I wanted to ask you about in terms of Just As I Am, your one-person show, because you unveil so many parts of yourself and experience that you've had, some of which were somewhat challenging, how does it feel being on stage naked in that way with your audiences?
Adila, it feels good because this is the cake. Remember I told you that show business, the fame and fortune is the icing?
Mm-hmm.
This is the cake. This is how I get to help others and to share with others, to encourage others, to say,
mm-hmm.
look what I went through and look, you know, how I've been blessed with a career.
Yes. Well, you know, I wanted to also say that I feel very honored that I was a part of your show from the beginning when you
yes.
planted the seed of creativity. We'd meet here in my living room.
That's right.
And watching you nurture it, and now it's fully blossomed for you. I just really want to say a public thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey as your director.
Well, I thank you, because believe me, I still use all of my notes, and I'm still going to go back to the theater that you turned me on to rehearse.
Wonderful. And now the show, of course, is fully on its feet. And I wanted to ask you, I haven't seen it in a while, how has the show evolved for you since we first began working on it?
Well, it's evolved mostly because now it's more storytelling. Before,
okay.
I was memorizing lines,
mm-hmm.
and which made me rather nervous.
Okay.
Now I'm just telling the story, and I haven't really changed a lot. I've added a song, an a cappella song.
Oh.
Yes. And other than that, it hasn't really changed a lot. The presentation has changed more than anything else. I have added a few other lines and changed a few
mm-hmm.
things around because in telling the story, I realized that certain lines weren't natural. It was too, too predictable, I guess is the word.
Okay. And so now you've owned the words in your own way that are comfortable.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing what I really set out to do in the first place, which was tell a story.
There you go. Now, I know we're going to plug now. I know you have an upcoming performance in March, and I'd like for you to share a little bit about what that is.
I'm so excited to be doing a little tidbit of
Yay.
Just Am at the Los Angeles Women Theater Festival with you.
Yes, yes.
And that is March the, what do I have my book?
22nd. For our opening night champagne gala
right.
award ceremony.
And I'm
we're
really
delighted
excited
to have
about
you.
That.
Huh?
I'm really excited about that.
We are
I've been wanting to be
delighted.
Do you know, Adila, I've been wanting to be a part of the festival, but I was afraid. Did you know that?
Well, I didn't know about the fear, but you know, you have been a part of us. You did participate in other ways as well. You've been on our stages before, though not this way.
But you had so many talented young ladies in there, and I'm like, oh, I know I'm a singer, but can I do that?
Yes,
you know?
You can, because it comes from that same well, that same place of creativity, telling the story.
Yes, I have enjoyed watching all the wonderful ladies from all over the world.
Oh, we're so
and I've
proud.
Been participating.
so proud. And now, of course, the festival has produced over 400 solo artists literally from around the globe. And
wow.
So it's really been an honor to have been one of the co-founders of the Los Angeles Women's
right.
Theater
and
Festival.
And also you've helped the schools.
Pardon?
Also you've helped the schools.
Yes, we've helped the kids in the schools, in the mm-hmm. L.A. public schools. We've served now well over 3,000 kids, both in school and after school in terms of programming. You're right.
Right. Well, see, that's the cake.
Mm-hmm. There's the cake. That's it. That's it. And also, for those of us who are listening who may live in the Los Angeles area and are wondering, well, where is this that she's going to be? I just want to plug that because they may want to come out and see your show as I am. So this, again, will be on March 22nd. And it will be at the Electric Lodge, which is located at 1416 Electric Avenue in Venice, California. And for those who want to learn more about the other programs, we have 6 programs over 4 days that weekend, they can visit us at www.lawtf.com. And, of course, they'll see you there and see your page and see more about you as well.
And
so
I really want to stress that. You have to come out and see this, ladies and gentlemen. It's like nothing you expect. It's not just little acting. They are dancers, but they are extraordinary. It's really
something
you have to see.
And this year, of course, we have 23 performers, so it's amazing, all the talent, all of them so diverse, different voices.
And where are they from this year?
Oh, we've got them from all over the country. We've got them from New York again, also from Tampa, Florida for the first time, although we've had people from Miami, and from St. Louis, also from up and down the state of California, all over the place. And so we're just thrilled to have all these artists. And the beauty is, this year, one of our official sponsors is Southwest Airlines. So they've supported us in getting them here. And we even have an artist coming from Canada.
That's just
amazing. Just amazing.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to also say that I know that you've received many, many accolades, different awards, and that the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival feels honored that we were able to also honor you with our Integrity Award. And you certainly are one who exemplifies integrity in terms of how you live your life and how you've conducted your career.
Oh, thank you, Adele. I was so proud. And
the
audience know who some of the people who are connected with the theater and are on the board.
Oh, we've got our board of directors, and that includes Shyla Lachey. She's a union worker as well for AFTRA. She does a lot of things. We've got Sky Palkowitz. We've got Yvonne Farrow. She's going to be our writer-director for the gala night.
And Danny Glover is honorary chairperson.
Danny Glover is one of our honorary chairpersons. So is Hattie Winston.
Right.
And Hattie, in fact, the evening that you'll be performing for the Champagne Gala and Award Ceremony, she and Ted Lange, they will be our hosts for the evening. They've hosted together many times. And they will be doing it again this year. And, of course, you were one of the hosts last year for the Champagne Gala Awards
here. Oh, and people come out because there are raffles. And I'm warning you, I usually win because I buy lots of raffle tickets.
And you know what? That is the truth. Every year, Florence, you win those doggone raffles. And you always tend to win more than one. It amazes me.
Well, I buy a lot of tickets.
Your karma's good.
One of the prizes, and, you know, I still have a couple of them, is a week at Adela's beautiful place in Georgia.
Oh, you sure do, and you've been, but you've got to come back. So
yeah.
For those who are going, what is she talking about, I'll just say a word and plug that. I have a writer's retreat, international writer's retreat for women, and it's located in Sharpsburg, Georgia. So there may be those who will want to come and write and just spend time in an environment that's very serene. It's very lush, very private, just a beautiful place to create. So I'm delighted that you've been down there and you won a raffle for that. So it's amazing.
It's gorgeous. And then there's champagne, all different kinds of wonderful prizes. So come on out.
Come on out to the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival. And, you know, also I wanted to get back to your writing of a book. Now, the book that you're writing, is it the one that you spoke of earlier in this interview where you talked about the beauty book, or is it a different book?
Yes. No, it's a beauty book. And I've got to finish this book soon. I've got to finish it.
How close are you?
I'm really very close. I'm almost finished. You know,
excellent.
I have photos in it, and it's just a matter of being disciplined. I probably should go to the writer's well and finish it.
Oh, come on down there and use that raffle prize.
Right.
So tell us, what does it feel like now that you have put on yet another cap? You have another hat you're wearing as a writer. What does it feel like to now be a writer?
I've always liked creating, and to me
uh-huh.
that's what writing is. I even like the physical thing of writing. My problem is I'm a perfectionist, and I'll write something, and then I'll go back and edit it, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to just write. But you
well,
know,
there are no rules. You can do it however you want
that's
to do it.
That's the teacher
writers.
In me. You know, I go back and correct spelling
mm-hmm.
and grammar.
Mm-hmm.
But some days I'll sit down and I'll just write, and it just flows. And then other days I get writer's block.
Right. But you're close, huh?
I'm very close.
Congratulations. Do you have a title for it?
Yes, it's called Let Your Light Shine.
Excellent. You did say that earlier. Let
uh-huh.
your light shine.
Yes, and that's what we all need to do. Let our light shine, don't?
Absolutely.
So, it's interesting. In this economy, you know, a lot of people walk around and they're looking gloomy. That's not going to help things.
No, it's not.
You know, I mean, part of everything is attitude. If you walk around with a smile on your face, you'd be surprised how you can encourage yourself.
That's right, and the energy that you will attract from others who attract
right.
you. Right,
people say, oh, will you pray for me? Pray for yourself.
Yes.
Encourage
yes.
yourself. Of course it's good to have other people there encouraging you and praying with you,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, prayer and faith without action, you got to get out there. That's
there
what I
you
learned.
Go.
You have to get out there and do something.
It starts with self.
Yes.
Now, I know that you also value education, and you mentioned
oh, yes.
earlier that you got your college degree, and this was during the time that you had just joined the fifth dimension.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about your decision to get a degree and how that's impacted your life and career in the music industry?
Well, when I was a child, there were two things I always wanted to do, and one was to be in the movies, and the other was to teach. I had a wonderful teacher. I can still see her. She was a little roly-poly teacher, Miss Stover, in the fifth grade.
Aww.
And she was just so sweet. I wanted to be a teacher. And my mother, although she encouraged my career, because you know, I think she lived vicariously through me, but she always encouraged me to finish college so I had something to fall back on. Now, when
yeah.
that expression, something to fall back on, really irritates me, because to me, teaching is not something you have to fall back on.
That's right.
I believe that teachers should be paid more than any athlete or any entertainer. Because teachers are molding the minds of the future. Teachers are not paid enough. They are not as respected enough.
That's right.
But,
and there was a time that we valued our teachers a lot
yes.
more. I mean, they were valued as much as doctors and lawyers because we understood their place in terms of nurturing our youth
right.
and really being there to guide them on their way.
That's right. But as you so people say, well, oh, you wasted all that time, you know, you're getting a degree and now you're entertained. No, it is not wasted. I use things that I learned in school,
mm-hmm.
and I go to schools and I speak.
Mm-hmm.
And education is just so important. But one thing that everyone should study, no matter what you want to do in life, whether you want to be a housewife, an entertainer, a secretary, everyone should take business courses.
Yes.
Because it's not what you make. It's what you do with it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I have a sister who's probably made half the money I made, and she has just done wonders. I mean, she's retired and traveling all over the world. You know, I think some of the young entertainers are becoming wiser to business now. They are investing, and they're starting their own businesses, becoming
yes.
entrepreneurs. So, but no matter what you do, it's really becoming a world entrepreneur. It's not
exactly.
a 9-to-5 anymore.
And the more hats we can wear, the better. And that's sort of been my MO all along.
Slow you down.
I
don't know
put
when
all
you
my
sleep.
Eggs in one basket. What'd you say?
I don't know when you sleep.
Well, you know, it's amazing. My brain is always operating. I'm always thinking. And I've always just felt that I have many callings, and I just try to be obedient and go where I'm led to do the different things that I've done. And so I've been hugely blessed by doing so.
Yes, and doing it well. A lot of people don't do one or two things well, but everything you do well, and you do it just with precision, and it's great. It's great.
Thank you so much, Florence.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's hard to believe our hour is almost up. Do you believe that?
Oh, my
that?
Goodness.
Almost. I think we've got like about 4.5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to take a moment to, again, thank you for being on the show. But I also want to make sure we allow a little bit of time in case there's anything that you feel that you really would like to talk about that we haven't touched. I'd really like for you to have that moment to do so. And before you do that, I just wanted to say that you do exemplify the age of Aquarius, all those things we talked about, light, love. You certainly exemplify that in terms of your person, in terms of the energy that you emit and what you give to others. So I really want to thank you as a fellow performer for all that you've done for other artists to inspire us, and as a humanitarian in terms of your charity, your giving, and all that you've done to work with the youth. You've really made a difference in the world. And it really is true that one person can make a difference. We saw that with Rosa Parks. We saw that with Dr. Martin Luther King. It can be one person, and so you certainly exemplify that as well. So you're an inspiration to many. And is there anything that you'd like to say in closing?
Well, I received that, and I thank you, Adela. And it's good
you're
to have
welcome.
A friend in the business, particularly a female friend who is a true friend. I'd also like to let your audience know that, yes, I'm still performing and traveling with the Fifth Dimension. This is my
40th year. You sure are.
They
How many years now, Florence? It's over 40, isn't it?
45.
45. I knew it was over 40. And you guys have been around
that.
The world, gotten all these awards. And
right.
You've kept the group alive. And what has been your inspiration to keep the group going for 45 years, Florence?
Mainly the audiences, because I keep thinking, oh, why am I doing this? And after every show, people come up, oh, thank you for keeping this music alive. And it brought back Seth's memories. And I enjoy it, and I work with wonderful people. And if you want to get the Fifth Dimensions schedule, you can go to my site, FlorenceLarue.com. I have both of our schedules, mine and the Fifth Dimensions touring schedule.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because some of our listeners may, in fact, come and visit you at your website.
Oh, please do.
Yes. Is there anything else that you want to share?
I think we've covered just about everything, except go out there and do it, folks. I mean, dream big. Dream impossible dreams. And strive
because
to
they are
them and
doable.
Don't give up. You know, every time I think about giving up, another door opens.
Yes, yes. And we'll continue to do so.
Right.
So we're delighted that you're going to be back on that stage in March with the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, March 22nd, at the Electric Lodge in Venice. And again, for people that want to come out and see you, they can get more details on the website of the festival at www.lawtf.
And people are always saying, well, have you ever played Las Vegas? We haven't for a while, but the Fifth Dimension will be in Las Vegas for one day only, April the 7th. Which is the Saturday before Easter at the Cannery. Again, you'll see our schedule at FlorenceLarue.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Florence. And I just want to say to our listeners that you're listening to Adela on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And I'd like to hear from you and find out what you thought about today's show with Florence LaRue of the Fifth Dimension. You can reach me at my website at www.lawtf.com. Actually, that's for the festival. My personal one is www.adelabarnes.com. You see how much the festival is a part of my life. Also, help keep Blake Radio on the air by becoming a subscriber today. And remember to dance, dance, dance like nobody's watching. Enjoy your miracle today. And now we've got a treat for you, the song Aquarius by Florence and the Fifth Dimension.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Florence LaRue. Hey, on the Fifth Dimension.
When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then he will guide the planet.
Right on.